And good morning, everyone. Today is Friday, January 14th. A cool start to the day. We'll get up to about 56. I'm Valerie Vining, and along with me normally would be Richard Dixon. Together, we make up the Dixon and Vining Show, but Richard is a little under the weather. We wish him well, and I believe maybe we'll have him back on Monday. We've got lots of headlines to get to, so let's do it now.
Hi, I'm Norm MacDonald, and this is the news.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court blocked Joe Biden's OSHA vaccine mandate yesterday and has allowed the rule for healthcare workers. The court ruled that COVID-19 is not an occupational hazard, but a universal risk. And that's what OSHA deals with, is occupational hazard. So a big win for Americans. I've got two gentlemen in the studio with me now, guest host Jim Moore and Steve West, who is also joining us this morning. Gentlemen, your thoughts on the Supreme Court ruling yesterday. Everybody happy about ruling? Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, it's about time.
It's about time somebody realized that White House is overstepping its boundaries.
Amen to that.
Impeach three is what I say. There's three of them up there that are complete idiots. Let's focus on those three.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of those somehow. Somehow it's got to happen.
You know, Trump put a couple more in there, and thank goodness he did that.
Or the Lord.
What would the ruling be?
Oh.
What would the ruling have been yesterday if Trump hadn't made some?
That's
a really good point.
No doubt.
Yeah, so the Occupational Safety and Health Administration rule that took effect on Monday said that businesses with at least 100 employees needed to require workers to get vaccinated or get tested weekly and wear a mask. All of this kind of goes away due to the ruling yesterday by the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think that is a vote for freedom. That is a vote for Americans to live their life the way that they want to without interference from an organization. OSHA really has no business.
Amen. And thank God we had some nerves that stood up. But here's the thing. Did we just flush the HIPAA rule? Is that no longer available?
You don't hear
That's
much
a law,
about that.
Right? I thought it was a law or something. We just went away. Nobody mentions it.
It depends on who exactly you're talking to. For certain people, it's a law. For some people, it's or something.
Yeah.
I think the or something is
taking it over.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
isn't it nobody's business about me and my medical procedures? Like, you know, Steve's had a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I did get his. You can get his online. I don't know if he knows that. But yeah, I looked
because
at it.
Because Jim put it on there.
He had a tough year.
Yes, he did.
He wrote up some debt there on his yearly trips. Now, Steve, I'm glad you're healthy again.
Yeah, he's healthy. Yeah.
You're looking good, bro.
I
hadn't seen you in a while.
For a while, according to everyone, I mean, I didn't really notice it because I was too close to the situation. It's like, you know, can't see the forest for the trees. But for a while, everyone kept saying, hey, man, your color looks really good. So apparently for a while, I was looking like Casper the Friendly Ghost.
A little ashy. You had major surgery.
Yeah, that's...
Your body's got to, get back to itself. And I remember a couple times you came up, I was like, you know, he's having to recover from something major that's happened to his body, and your color and everything.
Dude looks white as a sheet.
Yeah, somebody walk behind him and catch him if he falls.
Who's the white guy?
I'm so glad 2021 is behind you, Steve.
Oh yeah,
and that
for both of us, my wife and I both. We both had health scares last year, so
I'm not even sure if the last time I saw you wasn't when the old walk of shame took place.
When I had to
put everything in my little box and be escorted
off
the property. That's been a while ago.
No, I saw you at the shop a few times.
That's true.
Yeah, I saw you at the shop
a few times.
Yeah, the walk of shame. Is that what you call it? Here's your cardboard box. Put your belongings
in it. I'm
going
to need you to put your stuff in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And give me that key fob before you walk out the door.
You called it the walk of shame. I was kind of like half dancing out the door.
It wasn't so bad.
I was all right with it.
Landed on my feet.
Mm.
No, it's good to see you, Steve. Glad you're here.
Yeah.
I was excited when she told me this morning you were going to be here.
I guess we can break it now. Huh?
Yeah, I started to say something before we got back on air, but
it was funny.
Yeah, some big news.
Filled in for both you and Richard the week between Christmas and New Year's, and you can tell that there aren't a whole lot of people listening because apparently it missed because Spud couldn't wait. Spud. He was like, you got big news coming up here, don't you? And I was like, okay, yeah, we'll go ahead and talk about it. Yeah. And like a couple of people said, hey, congratulations, I heard about it.
Yeah.
And for the vast majority of people, they're like, what?
Yeah.
No.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm coming back.
Yeah, Steve
coming
West.
Back to radio. It's been for almost exactly 5 years.
Wow.
Started over at channels 21 and 68 on April the 10th of 2017. So this would have been 5 years.
Well, that TV stuff's
just
a fad.
Missed it.
Yeah.
Stuff's a fad. It's not going to last. Go away.
But this is the first love, you know?
Yeah.
And thank you for the offer. It came out of the blue. It really did. I was very appreciative of it.
It's interesting how things evolve. And I was having a conversation with somebody, and I knew you were doing some other things. And I said, you know, I just think the world of you, Steve. We've worked together in the past. Tremendous fill-in work when you've been able to, you know, come over here and do your thing. And you're just so talented. And I was talking to somebody. I was like, well, he's busy. He's got, you know, the NASCAR stuff. You know, he's got this other gig going on. And, you know, I thought, well, what does it hurt to have that conversation? And so I picked up the phone and you and I had a brief conversation. And I thought, gosh, I would love to get Steve West back in the building with us here at Talk 99.5.
And you stacked them Benjamins
that conversation,
high enough, girl. You can get you some Steve West.
Yeah, and I was like,
there were
you
some
know,
negotiations going on.
Just keep
said,
stacking,
really,
baby.
This is a possibility? I could have Steve West back? And I was like, so I am so excited and so thrilled because you're such an awesome person and you're so solid in everything you've ever done. And it's a big win for us to have you back. And so
good.
I'm
my plan
very,
worked. I've hoodwinked him into thinking I'm capable.
You got it, baby.
You're beyond capable. Yeah. So
yeah, I get to come in and ease some of the burden on Mr. John Bird over there by coming in and becoming the morning show producer.
Yeah, very excited. And we're going to start things up next week, bright and early. We're going to shift John Bird to 10 to 2. But John's love and what John does so well is his creativeness, and he's going to be helping us on the social media side and be doing some other things, and he's a tremendous talent too, and so I'm glad that we've got him as well. But it's going to be really neat. 2022 is off to a great start, and again, having you back in the fold is a huge blessing, and I'm glad you're here.
Happy
and I'm glad
here.
It worked out. Yep.
Happy
yep.
to be here.
Weather, guys, hey, we may have some snow on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Steve, you're going to need to spend the night here on Sunday.
No, I'm not going to do that to him. No,
that's not happening.
Bring your little bag and your toothbrush.
I'm going to take like 45 minutes to make sure that I can get from point A to point B and be here on time. Okay.
I think everything, the way that Dave Nespond spoke, that we should be in pretty good shape. Now, those of us that have to be here Monday morning, and we'll be here. Those of us that need to be here Monday morning might need to just make sure that our path from the driveway of our home to getting up this hill here at the radio station, everything is clear. Otherwise, there may be a couple of us that maybe need to, you know,
unless
come
you're
up
a
Sunday
rookie
evening.
Producer, yeah. If that's the case, you're sleeping right here, right here on this table.
I'll be watching everything Sunday afternoon. I mean, if it starts looking real bad, if it seems like it's going to start it, then yeah,
I'll make
those preparations.
What a trooper.
Team guy right here.
He's already talking about coming up Sunday night.
It's a pretty good hill getting up here, bro.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know.
Now, we do have a plus. You ready for this, Jim?
Oh, cops.
It's called the Homewood Police Department.
Yeah. Yes.
And let me tell you,
that
hill will be clear.
That's
yes,
right.
It will. No doubt about that. Yes, it will.
Everything has changed. How about this? In all the years that I've worked here, the year is way too long to tell you how long that I've come up that hill, and it's bumpy, and it needed repaving.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like an ice skate rink out there right now. It is so smooth.
No doubt.
You build a police station, a fire station, something like that. Man, all of a sudden the roads get real nice.
How about that?
Yeah. So in all the years that I've been here, that's the nicest pavement I've ever seen coming up the hill right beside that.
Now, if we could just do something with like Vulcan Road going over there.
Oh, I know.
Oh, gosh. Ugh. All of that needs some tremendous
help. Really does.
And maybe go back to 2-lane instead of the 4-lane thing as you go over the mountain and down towards Southside. I'm like, this is not safe. What do the bigger vehicles do going down that road? I'm like, all right, we need to stagger this a little
bit. Just a little.
Yeah, this isn't a very good look. Snow possibly on Sunday for those of you that missed Dave in the 7:30 time slot. He was telling us that, you know, it looks like Central Alabama, maybe an inch dusting. Doesn't seem to be a big deal. He even used some of the verbiage that it could be kind of a play thing that kids enjoy. Didn't seem super concerned about icing on the roads, but I think that concern happens maybe Sunday night into Monday when we got some bridges and overpasses that we know if it gets some of that moisture, it doesn't dry before that we might have some of those issues. But kind of neat. I mean, this is like, isn't this the second time we've gotten a little dusting, a little something?
So. We saw some a little bit earlier.
Yeah, and so normally it's not this early that we see some of this stuff, and we're not
like
even
April.
In February.
More like April.
Yeah, really. March and April.
We generally get snow in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Shouldn't this be spring? No, let's give you some snow.
I've had so much fun, though. Thanks for having me up.
Oh, I'm so glad you came, Jim.
You know, I got to get and make, I got to get out
you
there.
You got to go make some money.
Got to make America great again.
Yeah.
And I've been on that task for a while.
You have.
Got to keep that up.
Mm-hmm.
But Steve,
you better do a good job.
I'm really happy for you here.
I appreciate it.
That's you're a great fit here.
I appreciate it.
Yep. Well, Jim, congratulations. I can't thank you enough. Thank you for getting up bright and early this morning and helping out for Richard being gone. And
did get me up.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, go make America great. We love you. It's Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. 8:17, talk99.5, talk99.5.com. Sounds like a little sped up Billy Joel. Is it sped up?
Is this live?
It sounds his voice.
What the heck's going on?
I'm thinking it's a live version.
Maybe. I had a great experience with Billy Joel and Elton John.
I would have loved to have gone to that concert.
This was pretty phenomenal. I was working at I-95 at the time. I think it was I-95 at the time.
I remember that
station.
It may
have been Mix 94.5. I don't know. It changed names so many times. Anyways, long story short. So Billy Joel and Elton John were coming to the BJCC. They both were on dueling pianos.
Oh, yeah.
And the pianos were facing each other, and they were both playing. And one of the deals with one of the record labels was, you know, we were giving away tickets, whatnot. We were going to have all these winners. And then we were going to pare it down to 10 winners that were going to be able to go to the BJCC during their warm-up.
Oh, wow.
Which was like at, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
You get to hear about 30 minutes of just the two of them on stage. You sit on the front row. They were phenomenal.
Yeah.
They were so engaging with the 10 people that were there because this meant everything to the 10 that
Absolutely.
Were there. And they all got to bring a guest. It was 20 people and then a few of us from the radio station. But both Billy Joel and Elton John,
it was a
time I will never forget. And I just sat back and thought, this is really neat that they're, you know, I mean, these guys have made it 10 times and they didn't need to do that, didn't have to do it, but they understand who their audience is.
And the fun part of it is if you sit down and you watch any interviews with any musicians, you can tell very quickly who's going to be that kind of an engaging person because mm-hmm. they get comfortable and they're just chatty and everything kind of goes easy.
Yeah.
It's the people that are closed off and they're giving one word answers. You're like,
not so
in
much.
A situation like what you were just talking about. It's not going to be as fulfilling for the people that were able to go. They're going to be like, oh, well, it was kind of neat to watch them warm up, but
whatever, you know. But no, they stopped and came, you know, got up off the piano chairs area and then came around the front and sat there. I think it was Billy Joel that sat down and his legs hanging off the edge of the stage and just, you know, chatting with the folks. It was fun. And the other one that sticks out in my mind is Rod Stewart, because by phone I did a Rod Stewart interview and I thought, I don't know why, but I had this expectation. I was like, this guy has made just, you know, tons of albums. He's been all over the world and concert after concert. You know, this is, and he could not have been more genuine. He would have talked all day.
Sure.
And just, you know, you just never know sometimes what you're going to get because, you know, you've had that interview. You're like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
And then you have somebody like him and you're a consummate professional. And he gives you all the time in the world, and it couldn't have been kinder and nicer.
The best time that I ever had, truth be told, was with Sean Astin, was when he came into town. It's when the Irwin brothers, go ahead and give them a plug, they were doing the movie Woodlawn.
Right.
And they were going to do an extra scene at the old Barry High School, which is now Pizzitz Middle School. And we were on the football field, and we were waiting for them to go from one end of the football field to the other. So they're dragging all this equipment. And Sean just kind of, you know, moseyed on over. And Josh Walsh, who's one of the producers for the Irwin Brothers, came down. He's like, do like an interview with him. And I was like, okay. So I get out of the stands and introduce myself. And everybody kind of remembered me and started talking to Sean Astin.
Yeah.
I asked him about his time on Rudy and compare that to, like, your time on Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to say another word. He just
went
just went off. And it was so entertaining for about 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we need you down here on this end of the football field. Thanks, guys. Got to go. Real, real open guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, those are the kind of people that you really, really like.
Sure. There was an interview done on this station by a former employee, and I think it was John Stossel. And this is a guy that's in the media.
Yeah.
And it was like, and there's nothing worse than when you ask a question in what we do and you just go, you get this answer, yes or no.
Care to expound?
I'm like, you got to expound. Just, and this is John Stossel.
Yeah. I mean, a guy who should know better.
This is a guy that does this every day of his life,
yeah,
who presents these stories on television. And you think, oh, well, this is going to go great. I'm going to learn so much, and yeah, he's going to share so much. And it was like pulling teeth. It was almost as if, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here for another second. It was one of the worst interviews ever.
It's horrible.
Because it was like, pull it out. Come on, give me just a little bit more. Share something.
Just,
you know, tell me a story.
Anything more. Just stop with the one word answer.
Yeah, stop with that, definitely. Okay, so you and I were looking at the monitor a minute ago, and this is just, I mean, I watched this story, and this is incredible. That tennis great Novak Djokovic, it doesn't look like he's going to be playing in the Australian Open because of his visa. Second time. Here we go again.
Yeah, they're getting a little bit too tight-handed here. I mean, the first time around, I think they did the right thing in granting
checking
his appeal and granting him the waiver and giving him the visa. This time around, I kind of understand where the Australian government's talking about, because apparently he lied on that visa application about it. He was very open about the fact, hey, I had COVID, but he didn't let them all know, hey, I was still kind of going out and about. I didn't quarantine. And you lie about that. I kind of get it. But at the same time, this is going to hurt them. This is the number one player in the world,
number
as you
one
said.
Player, yeah.
I think he's won the Australian Open something like 9 times or something like that.
Something crazy, yeah.
I get the funny feeling.
20 Grand Slams.
This is going to be one of those things where people tune in for certain people. You know, if you're a tennis fan, you tune in because you want to see Novak Djokovic.
Sure.
If you were a golf fan, you tuned in because you wanted to see Tiger Woods.
Right.
The ratings for the golf tournaments that Tiger Woods didn't play in dived.
Yes.
And I get the funny feeling they're going to see that here.
Yeah. There was a hearing scheduled for not long ago. And again, this is the second time that it looks like his visa will be revoked and he will not be playing in the Australian Open. This is amazing. 34-year-old. He's won, as you said, 9 of his 20 Grand Slam titles, and this is going to be very different for the Australian Open. It really hurt, and in my opinion, hurts the tournament.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, Australia, you're kicking yourself, you know, you're shooting yourself in the foot by not allowing. And I understand you have rules, and you know,
but you're losing your
laws
star power.
And this is the way that it goes.
Yeah,
but
you're losing your star power.
So you're not going to make an exception for anybody. How about this? Novak Djokovic plays in the tournament, and you put him on a plane, and he exits as soon as the tournament's
sure.
over. But that's not the way that this rolls, apparently, in Australia, and the government is saying he's not going to play in the tournament. It's just amazing.
A little bit too heavy-handed to me.
I think so, too. Do you make an exception? Maybe this time you do, because he's all the way over in Australia, and you're here. Okay, look, we're going to allow it this time, but we're not going to – next time you come over, you need to make sure your visa is correct.
If it's your major concern, you're allowed to go hotel to the tournament. That's it.
I think that that's acceptable, but apparently the Australian government doesn't think that that is. So you're going to nix the number one player.
Have fun with your tournament, folks.
Yep, good luck with that one. There's going to be some people with some tickets that are going to be ticked off about that one.
You know it.
Woo, we'll be back. Steve West with me now. And again, a big thank you to Jim Moore. I appreciate him so much. Coming in from 6 until 8:30. This is the Dixon and Vining Show. Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. It is 8:30, talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. And yeah, happy, we're about to get into a weekend, but it's going to be a weird weather weekend. We'll update you here in just a couple of minutes on Talk 99.5. Hey, I know you've probably passed by it. There are a lot of really good-looking trucks at Work Trucks downtown, 23rd Street and 3rd Avenue South in Birmingham. I passed by there going, wow, look at all these trucks. Now you know what it is. If you need a truck for your business, a dependable truck, or you need a whole fleet of trucks, Work Trucks is who you should turn to. They're in downtown Birmingham, as I said, your premier used truck and used commercial dealership. They got everything you need. You need a Super Duty? Got it. You need a box truck? They've got that. They've got cargo vans. Just about anything you can think of, they can help you out with, and they really are good-looking vehicles. See for yourself. Again, their lot is on 23rd and 3rd Avenue South in Birmingham. If you want to schedule a test drive, maybe you've seen something online, you're like, hey, I think that might work for my business. Perfect. Give them a call at 252-4200, 252-4200, or go online to take a look at their fleet of vehicles at Work Trucks. That's T-R-U-X, Work Trucks, LLC.com, Work Trucks, LLC.com. Steve West in studio, and of course, it has now been officially announced a little earlier this morning and maybe before that, but back in the fold with Talk 99.5. You've been here before, and we are thrilled that officially Monday will be your first day. You're going to be producing the show, and
I'm happy to join in. Obviously I listen, and you know, have had the chance to come up here and fill in on occasion or join in with whoever, and it's been a lot of fun, and I've really enjoyed it. You know, and radio is the first love.
Yeah,
you know,
and the nice thing is you're coming back, and you pretty much know everybody in the building.
Yeah, pretty much I do.
It's so, like coming home.
Yeah.
So we'll get things cranked up, and hopefully Richard will be back. He's been a little under the weather.
I know.
I haven't gotten confirmation that it might be what we all think it might be, but you know, that regardless, he doesn't feel well. Stay home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take care of yourself. Get well, and hopefully we'll have him back here on Monday. We'll have some discussions and figure that out. But speaking of the variant and everything that's going on, we were discussing this earlier this morning, some of the headlines, and yesterday we found out that the Supreme Court blocked Joe Biden's OSHA vaccine mandate. And I think a lot of people are relieved to see that it is unconstitutional what he was doing, and a little bit of overreach in the vaccine mandate.
Yeah, I mean, if the company wants to do it, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the company saying, and a couple of companies I heard this morning were saying, yeah, we're still going to do that, and that's fine. But that's outside the government's purview. It's
correct.
Not their job. You know, we all these, whether it's senators, representatives, Supreme Court members, president, vice president, they all take oaths of office that say that they will uphold and defend the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they got it that this was in their purview in the Constitution of the United States. I got news for you. It ain't.
It ain't. Well, this is the interesting part, and I think back to it. Joe Biden, when the Afghanistan debacle happened and we lost all those soldiers unnecessarily, immediately there had to be another something in the news cycle. And the made-up news cycle was that Joe Biden came up with this vaccine mandate, and put it under OSHA.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute he did that, attorneys all over the country, even AG Steve Marshall, was looking at it going, hold on a second, OSHA is about occupational hazards
in
the workplace. That's what we're looking at. This is not an occupational hazard. You know, maybe a risk to some, but now we're learning more about what the vaccine does and does not do. And what the vaccine doesn't do is prevent you from getting COVID.
Exactly.
So this is way out of the realm of should be under OSHA in any shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah.
And so therefore the Supreme Court saw that and says, you know, this is unconstitutional. We can't do this.
Yeah, this vaccine, it's not an end-all be-all. It's not like the polio vaccine or something like that. It's another flu vaccine is what it is. And you can get the flu vaccine, and it may lessen your chances of getting the regular flu, but it doesn't eliminate them. It's the same thing with the COVID vaccines.
You know, and it's also interesting. I know private businesses can make those decisions as to whether they want to mandate the vaccine or not. Not a lot of consideration about those that have had COVID-19 and have those antibodies. Mm-hmm. There's almost no discussion about that right now. You don't hear that in any of the media outlets.
No.
Rarely do you hear about it anymore. It's just vaccine, booster.
And
it's like, wait a minute. What about people that, you know, have been told by their doctor they should not take the vaccine for whatever medical reason? They really shouldn't take it. Women who are pregnant, you know, what's the consideration there? All of that is taken away. So I wonder down the road with, you know, even private businesses that are mandating this vaccine, is there going to be some blowback or lawsuits from people saying, you mandated me to take this, and I understand that you get to do that, but I also get to choose whether or not I want to work here or
not. Exactly.
Or those that say, hey, I felt like I was forced to take this vaccine in order to keep my job. And now we're seeing, hey, the vaccine doesn't do what everybody thought it did. And that was to keep you from ever getting the virus. And that's not true.
Well, I don't care what side of the party line the politician falls on. If you're going to sit there and do what Joe Biden has done and the CDC has done, and quite frankly, a whole lot of these state and county health departments all across the country, they all seem to be one-trick ponies, like you were talking about.
Yes.
You know, we're no longer talking about having the natural antibodies from having had it.
Yeah, they don't seem to care about that.
Everyone's demanding you must go get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. And Joe Biden is still doing that. He's still trying to pit the unvaccinated or the vaccinated to the unvaccinated.
Yeah. And it's but yet he's a uniter.
Yeah, great uniter. And I was just about to say that, that, you know, you as the leader of our country, let's galvanize the troops. We're supposed to come together as Americans and figure this out together. We understand. And what we're seeing is that when you get the vaccine, it can minimize those symptoms, but it doesn't stop you from getting the virus or spreading the virus. So why are you pushing the vaccine at this point now that we know what we know? Are you going to do that with a flu shot? You got to get, you know, you got to get the flu shot. You got, why do I have to get the flu shot? I still can get it. I still can spread it to other people. It might help me from getting really, really sick. And maybe some of those that in past years have gotten the flu and it's turned in pneumonia and something else, and they end up in the hospital and they die. People die from the flu.
Yes.
People have died from COVID-19.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. I dislike the fact that our president isn't saying, we encourage you to get the vaccine. We see what it can do. Mm-hmm. We encourage everyone to get it. But to start pitting unvaccinated and vaccinated is a horrible look.
Yeah. And it was, I want to say it was just before Christmas where we crossed the threshold where right about 2/3 of the American public got vaccinated. We crossed the 200 million threshold. And we had to go a long ways to get to that 200 million threshold, which means to me, and should mean to any logical thinking person, you're about at the level where the people that are going to get it have gotten it. And the people that aren't going to get it, you're not going to be able to do anything to do it.
Yeah, you're not going to convince them.
You're not going to convince them. You know, a person who's convinced against their will, they still have that same opinion.
Yes.
You know, you're going to try and shove somebody into a chair and make them get a vaccine. They're going to fight the entire way.
Mm. Yeah. And again, not a good look for the Biden administration yesterday. Another loss. You know, you try to add up what has Joe Biden done while he's been in office. There's not a whole lot of things that you can point to. Inflation, incredible right now. We are at a 40-year high. Think about that for a minute. 7%. We're up 7%. His poll ratings down to 33%. You know, it's just a bad look in his first year. And this is supposed to be where everything is all, you know, daisies and wonderful. And look at what I've done in the first 12 months. And I understand maybe not all of what's happening with the economy is all Joe Biden's fault. But at the same time, you know, Joe, you keep mandating the vaccines to businesses like you were trying to do. What does that look like for the business model? If you're a business owner and you're being mandated to tell all your employees they have to get vaccinated, well, you got some people going, you know what, I'm not doing this, I'm out. Or, you know, you got police officers at departments across the country that were looking at being mandated to be vaccinated, and they said, I'm not doing that. Guess what? I'm going to go retire. So you're losing people. What you need to do is to bring people into the economy, to flood it with people that want to come to work. And instead, you're making it more difficult for those employers and people that might potentially be employees and say, no, I'm not doing it. You're going to mandate me to get a vaccination. I'm going to go somewhere that doesn't mandate me to get a vaccination. It's just an interesting dynamic. But back when Biden did this with OSHA, I think many, many people looked at this. Attorneys all over this country and said, this is not going to fly. This is unconstitutional. And yesterday, the Supreme Court agreed. This is unconstitutional.
Absolutely.
This is not what America is about. This is about freedom and choices, and we get to make those choices. Yeah. And that's how they ruled yesterday.
It's a bad dynamic, and it goes back to what we were talking about when I joined you a couple of days ago, his appearance over in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And the mysterious absence of one Stacey Abrams.
Yeah.
Those poll numbers continue to go down, and all of the representatives, because everybody in the House is up for grabs, and a third of the Senate, all those people that have a D beside their name, you're going to be hearing more and more of them and of gubernatorial candidates with a D beside their name saying, thanks, Joe, for the offer, but you stay in Washington. Yeah. We're good here. Mm. I don't need your help on the campaign trail.
And on the flip side of this, we've got Donald Trump, who's holding a big rally tomorrow night in Arizona.
Yeah.
Apparently with a big announcement. I don't know really what that is.
I think 2024.
Maybe
just saying.
It's the 2024. We'll see. But it every time he holds one of these rallies, it's, you know, you're thinking, if he wasn't running in 2024, then what is the other opportunity here to have this rally? Is that to talk about maybe galvanizing conservatives and looking at who potentially he could back, or is it going to be him? And many believe that it will be Trump that runs in 2024, and it's looking more and more like that. Midterm elections coming up later this year. Let's go to Robert. He's in Sylacauga. Hey, Robert, welcome into Talk 99.5.
Hey, Valerie.
How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm wonderful. I'm taking a trip to Birmingham to see the VA and make sure this blood clot I got from the booster shot is gone.
Ooh.
But we're talk about that.
Oh, goodness. Well, I hope you're all right, and I hope things go well.
I am. I've got some good doctors. They've done well. You were just talking about inflation, and they're showing it like 7%, and I'm like, yeah, maybe I'm just ignorant, but I'm a contractor, and building materials are up 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
I mean, up 30%. Mm-hmm. Groceries are up 30%. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do they figure this?
It's an average of everything. I mean, obviously, some things are going to be much higher than others. Some things aren't going to be quite as high. A lot of it depends upon supply and demand in your situation. So it's an average of everything altogether.
But, yeah, I'm sure if you're in the construction business, you're like, oh, wow, 7%. You got to be kidding me. I mean, look at lumber costs.
I bought 20 12-foot tube of boards yesterday and 2 pieces of 5/8 plywood. It was $435.
Oh, wow. No, not building a house anytime soon, unfortunately.
No.
Oh, my gosh. We need to come up with a different material to be able to build a house with. It looks like wood is not the way to go.
It just helps sustain the building price. I mean, the resale prices.
Sure.
I mean, they're off the charts.
Yeah.
I mean, you have people putting houses on the market for a decent price, and next thing you know, you got people bidding on it.
Yeah, it's a crazy market. It really is, as far as the housing.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, they're afraid they're going to lose these low interest rates, and so they'd rather pay more and get a decent rate than wait a year and pay more and get an outrageous rate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I still remember the 80s. I bought my first house at 16%.
Wow, 16? Oh, my goodness, Robert.
Wow.
That was an 82.
Yeah, that was a deal back then.
Yeah, maybe felt like
I bought a $45,000 house. Now, I got the house at a great deal. I mean, it was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath with a pool. I got it for $45,000, but my house payment was still $550 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
A lot of money.
Yeah, a lot's changed, but those rates where they're at now, Robert, as you said, probably those are going to be going up. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, and we wish you the best with your health, Robert. Thanks for the call.
Y'all have a great day.
You too. Have a good weekend. It's 8:44. Back in a moment. Richard Dixon, Valerie Vining, the Dixon and Vining Show with Steve West. Moments, we'll be back at Talk 99.5. 8:48, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Dixon and Vining Show, Valerie Vining, Richard Dixon, and in for Richard today, Steve West, now a part of the Talk 99.5 family, officially announcing it today. Monday will be your first official day, and I hate to tell you, but I need you to come Sunday and spend the night, if that's okay, because of all the snow that's going to fall.
Well, we mentioned it a little bit earlier. I'll be watching it because, you know, where I am, I'll be real blunt. If it snows unexpectedly heavy and I'm not prepared, I'm not getting out. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, literally, outside within a quarter mile of our driveway is a hill that's steeper than the one coming up here.
Yes.
So believe me, if I'm stuck, I'm stuck.
Yes.
I won't be getting out of the house. So I'll be watching it very carefully on Sunday.
Well, I will too. And again, we'll keep an eye on it. You guys keep an eye on it too. And if things start to develop to get a little rough and we got problems with roadways or power outages or things like that, we'll certainly make plans to be here for you to deliver that information. But if it's just what Dave Nessbaum said, and we'll re-rack that for you at 9:30, but I think what I heard correctly is that this might be one of those little, you know, little dusting, maybe up to an inch across central Alabama, could be a little less, but maybe just a pretty thing, maybe a little something for kids to run around in. But he didn't sound really overly concerned with, travel issue here. Now, North Alabama could be a different situation. Yeah. Nashville looking at 6 to 12 inches of snow.
Have fun with that, Matt.
And up the Northeast Coast, look out because it's going to be really heavy amounts.
I'm going to be chatting. I think I've said this on the air before. My sister lives in Providence, Rhode Island, so I'm going to be in touch with her probably Monday, Tuesday, as things start to really get in there, because I'm going to want to see pictures of what it looks like up there.
Yeah.
You know, but here, if everything is holding the way that they're talking about, we might it might be on the trees, it might be on the grass, like on your deck or something like that. But because of how much heat that we've had this week, and for the most part in the early part of the winter, it hasn't been terribly cold. We haven't spent a whole lot of time below freezing. So the roadways have kind of still gathered.
They're
that
warm
kind of
enough,
heat.
Yeah.
But it's the bridges and overpasses you got to worry about.
That's the question mark. That's going to be that's going to be the iffy Sunday night to Monday. And as Karen talked about earlier this week, that that's Martin Luther King Day. It is a holiday, and that's probably the silver lining in all
blessing
of this.
Blessing in disguise.
That schools won't have to make that decision. The kids will all be home already.
And a lot of federal and state offices will
be closed. And so all of that will play well into a Sunday situation where we have winter weather, and then concerned about, how roads look the next morning. Not many will have to worry about, just those that – first responders, those that work at hospitals, we'll need to, kind of see what's going on with it. But all in all, it doesn't sound just yet that it's that big a deal. Tomorrow's probably another good day to kind of watch the development, because Dave was saying how that wraparound over in Mississippi is going to come down and around through Alabama, and where that wrap is going to depend upon, how much snowfall we get. But what he's seeing today on some of the models is not a big deal.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of glad to hear that. Yeah, I think it was 93, that storm that came through.
I remember.
It was in March. It was my birthday weekend.
Oh, okay.
And I had some friends that lived in North Florida, and they came up, had some other friends from another part of the country. They came over. There was about 8 of us in the house, and I thought, oh, okay, we're going to get a little snow. Had a fireplace. I was living in Helena at the time, had a fireplace. And I thought, well, I'll just go. There's a guy, half mile down the road. He's got a whole truckload full of firewood, and I'll just get the truckload of firewood, and we'll have a great time. You'll have all these folks, and, we'll build a fire, and it'll be great. Thank goodness.
Uh-huh.
That I got that truckload of firewood. It literally saved us, because I ended up having to, the snow drifts on the front door of the house were probably about 2.5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up taking everything out of the refrigerator because I lost power and just plopped it into the snow. The milk and some deli meat and mayonnaise and things
like
that. And the eggs. And then pulled out after about 24 hours of, absolutely bundled up in the living room, shut everything else off, and just everybody, it was just like a giant slumber party in the middle of the living room. I went in the kitchen, got a frying pan, cooked some eggs over the fireplace like we were at a campfire.
Yeah.
Somebody was responsible for staying up overnight. It took shifts to make sure that the fire didn't go out. It was really cold and windy, and what a snowstorm that was. And no one really predicted. I remember one guy landed at the Birmingham airport, and he made it down Highway 31 to about the Pelham area. He was a next door neighbor and walked rest of the way. It was dark. It was at night.
Ugh.
And made his way down 31, down 52, past the tanks and up to the Deering Down subdivision.
I know what you're talking
about. It took him hours, but he was determined to get home. So he just abandoned his car on the side of the road.
Wow.
And got home to his family. But that's not what we're looking at.
That was 93.
That was 93. I'm not describing what's going to happen tomorrow. Things are looking, kind of mild for tomorrow, minimal. More headlines for you in just a couple of minutes. We'll get into that and much more. Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.